delivery, elevates the cross, Bain is there! Hawksby's got a hat-trick. It's a first-half hat-trick for the young woman from Wollongong.
Sarah's looking to hit, grabs it up, back post, and did he find it beautifully? And what a finish from Ryan Grant off the underside of the crossbar. It's a trademark goal for Sydney's veteran defender.
Welcome back to Sky Blue Stories, the podcast that brings you all the latest news, analysis, and stories about Sydney FC. I'm your host, Sean Maloney, and today I'm joined by my co-hosts, Julian and Jonathan. Well, Julian is back after missing last week due to his coaching commitments with Quakers Hill, and Jonathan is still off enjoying the Canadian winter wonderland. It's been an eventful week for Sydney FC, with the women's team suffering a disappointing loss to Western United in the qualifying final last Sunday. However, they've got a chance to redeem themselves in the upcoming preliminary final against Melbourne Victory, and we'll be discussing their chances and what they need to do to come out on top. We'll also be taking a look at the men's team's recent form, including their big win over Perth Glory, and analysing their chances as they head towards the finals. And of course, we'll have some laughs along the way and maybe even come up with some creative ways for Jonathan to make use of his ice skating skills in the world of football. So sit back, relax, and join us as we dive into all things Sydney FC. Whether you're a diehard fan or just someone who loves the beautiful game, you won't want to miss a single minute of Sky Blue Stories. Mr. Bombach, guten Tag. Good to see your face
good
again.
Good night.
Yeah.
Good night, actually.
And after last week's defeat at the hands of Marconi Stallions, you're okay? Boys will take the medicine, learn their lessons, and forge ahead in with their club season, yeah?
That's it. Yeah. No, that's exactly right. Yeah. Just beaten by a better team, some quality players, first graders, Joeys, fucking you name it. So, no, it was a good experience for everyone and better for it. And no losses, only lessons. So, all good. Oh,
that's deep, man. What did you think of my intro, though? What did you think? What did you think?
I thought you were going to ask me. I rate it. It was very good. Yeah? Very all-inclusive.
Out of 10.
A couple of little... Yeah, I would say probably a solid 8. Solid 8. That was pretty good.
Thanks, man. You want to ask me how I came up with it?
Yeah, go on.
Chat GPT. Yes.
How good is that?
Yeah. It's pretty good. It's not bad.
That's going to take, I'll tell you what, it's going to just start taking over everything. You can just log in all your emails in the start of the morning. Please generate amount of emails.
We may not even be here. Maybe I'm just a deep fake at the moment. It's not really me.
Well, I just finished watching The Matrix with the wife again, rewatching it all. So who knows, man?
That's it.
This could all be, well, I'm hoping it's all just smoke and mirrors because, I'd be happy if it isn't, considering how well we went in the men's and just unfortunate about the women. But yeah.
Well, I remember we were recording tonight. I'm like, oh, yeah. Did I send Jules the run sheet? Yep, tick, did that. Okay, Jonathan's like, oh, fuck, I got to do the intro. And, of course, I'm always going to live in the shadow of Jonathan's intros. It's very big shoes to fill anytime I have to do this. And, the old notion of, work smarter, not harder. And I was doing a little bit of uni work after I did some work today. So I'm studying at the moment, going back to uni. I saw my chat GPT tab open up on my second monitor. I'm like, aha. It was either a chat GPT intro for tonight's podcast or today's podcast, this one or episode, or a rap in the style of Kanye West about Ryan Grant. So,
¿cómo estás dos?
I think
That's usually your go-to in the Sky Blues messenger chat.
I had a bit of fun.
Deep dark web.
Although I didn't like the ChatGPT's Weird Al Yankovic version. I didn't find enough Weird Al came through the AI generated rhyme and words and stuff. So,
oh my god,
we haven't had any feedback from a couple of weeks ago when I did. Was it about Nat or no? It was about Mackenzie. And I did
I
put
like the McKenzie one.
Shout out at there. So if anybody wants me to do one of them or any suggestions, I haven't heard Boo, so it probably doesn't say too much. So look, Well, we'll dive into tonight's episode. We've got our usual program with Around the Grounds, a few reviews, a few previews to do, of course. But, you know, we're at the, you know, our run sheet will probably start to run a little bit thin over the next month or two as the men's season starts to wrap up. Of course, the women's is only, well, I'd like to think two more rounds or two more games worth to go. But we'll get into my favourite segment, Around the Grounds.
Grounds.
Now, this one came from about a bit more than a week ago, because obviously we didn't pod last week. Apologies for that. But from good mate Arto, who's always very, was it prolific or prevalent? Something starting with P on Twitter. So we've always liked his banter and his conversations and topics and discussions and whatnot back and forth. I'll paraphrase Jules, but from our NPL, he asked us on Twitter, said on our NPL, in regards to our NPL boys, who could be a replacement or a potential successor to Bratton? Interesting conversation to have, just in general. I don't know if it stems from perhaps Brats not having as potent a season as, well, previous to last season, because he didn't play, of course. Yeah. But he might be a bit of a victim of everyone or several of players around him not pulling their socks up as well.
Yeah.
Regardless of what happened, despite what happened last Sunday, which was a great win, great win. We'll dive into a second. What would you make of Braddon's season so far?
Oh, I think he would be the first to admit. Doesn't strike me as a bloke that would, you know, mince words or anything like that. And he probably demands a certain level of performance from himself. So sure, he's probably disappointed with his personal performance and probably disappointed with where the teams perform this year and where they are. But I agree with you, Sean. I think it's more of like a sum of the parts sort of thing in terms of everybody's sort of had, or not everybody, but a lot of players have had a poorer season. Anthony Caceres, I'd probably chuck in the same boat.
Yeah.
I don't think he's had nowhere near the season that he's had previously. So, yeah, just probably a case of that. And hopefully it's a blip in the radar for personal performance and they go back to being their sterling best next year.
And, look, he's coming back from an ACL. Like, you know, I can only imagine, like, it's not just like, oh, you come back, you play a few games, you play a quarter of the season and you're back to your old ways.
Doesn't work like that.
No, not at all. You'd testify to that. But in terms of a couple of fellas in the NPL team, because they are humming along and they did have a loss in the weekend. Interesting that against your mates up there, up there at the Arctic Circle.
Local derby, the localest of derbies, man. Because especially with us training out of Macquarie.
Oh yeah, and they also train out a little, haven't they? Trained out at Christie Park.
They do. Anytime that it goes underwater, Macquarie, they train at at Christie
around the corner. But the likes of Captain Oscar Priestman, although I think he plays a little bit more of an advanced role, a bit more like a number eight, a bit more box to box than holding, or maybe like a Zane Schreiber. But both of them are fantastic. And we're going to dive into a little bit into our youth boys, because they're, despite the loss on the weekend, they're going really well. They're probably punching above their weight a fair bit. But those two names, but regardless of a Bratton successor, also another little combo I saw on Twitter just over the last couple of days, thanks to Brannis's great, Brandon O'Neill's great last-minute winner for Newcastle in the last round. Maybe a little conversation. People are like, bringing him home. And, you know, conversation over, would you take an O'Neill over a Bratton at the moment? Why not both, you know?
Yeah, I think I saw Slowey. I think the conversation you're talking about. I think Slowey said on form, maybe. On pure best for best, probably not. I kind of agree, to be fair. I think Brandon's a great player and I'd love to see him back in Sky Blue, especially just because of the bloke he is as well. Forget about the footballer. One of the best blokes going around in the A-League. So, I'd welcome him back, but I agree with you, Sean. Why not both? Why can't we dream to have both?
I reckon Braddon does have his note. They did play together, albeit very briefly, before Brandon's left. And maybe, Rowdy, tell us how many games, a little bit of homework for you, how many games or minutes have both of them shared on the park at the same time. But I think,
and how successful was it as well?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Did they get the win or wins each time they played? Mm. I think it was only once. I think I remember watching a cold, maybe it was hot, seeing as we played through the summer, but a night at Cogra shortly before he left. But I think Bratz has his nose out in front of O'Neill. I think there's just a little bit more in his locker in terms of a goal and a little bit of creativity and stuff like that. But anyway, I digress. Another little bit of stat. This is an interesting one and a good one, that our current home average, 17,792, just shy of 18,000, the highest average this season by 6,000. That's a fair margin. Our best average since 16-17. Obviously, we know what happened that season. I think I remember seeing photos of you jumping on the players at the end of it all. That would have been
16-17. Nah, the year after I was.
Okay, you were dressed in a nice suit. Yeah. This continues. That was, it will be the first time since the A League men's first season that we've had the highest average crowd.
And look, I think I don't know. I think a couple of things with that. One,
Mr.
probably Cynical. Includes, Mr. Cynical's coming out. One, I think the derbies probably contributed a little bit to it. Not too much, because they haven't been as big as what they have in previous years. Like, we haven't had a sellout 45,000 Allianz derby. So only slightly skewed. I still think we'd be well and truly above the average, even taking out of that. The other thing I would say is that fantastic for us, but probably a sign of maybe the A-League's lack of engagement, particularly down in Melbourne, where they've got their nose out of joint. Victory fans, whether you like them or not, they're a little bit jaded. So that's probably hurt their average attendances.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's probably the only.
And you also attribute to a nice, beautiful stadium and families and like wanting a nice game experience. Definitely. There's good transport back up. And look, Cogra was Cogra, and like it or lump it, it was what it was. And now people are back at Moore Park and it's just easier to get to games. You know, I dare say,
it's
about saying, if we were another year at Cogra, I think we'd be lucky to get half of that average to each game. And I dare say, I think it goes without saying that the highest average crowd in last past years would have been Victory, would have to have been Jules.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Without question.
Mm. And look, another great piece of news in the past week. Ante Juric is back for two more years, and we couldn't be happier. He is the most winningest coach ever to grace a Sydney FC uniform. He's like the football coach whisperer. He's incredible. Nice guy. Great football brain. Jules, happy, of course.
Oh, over the moon. That's somebody like Ante still stay at the club even after several offers from overseas, as far as I understand it, and men's teams from within the country. Pretty bloody good to keep him at the club, to be fair. Not that I think he'd ever want to leave, to be honest. I think it's testament to the amount of offers he's received, and he still wants to stay around. So, great to have him on board for another two seasons. And I think that also makes him the longer serving coach, just full stop.
Yeah, I think so. Rowdy, another bit of homework for you, mate. Absolutely over the moon having him back. We'll certainly squash any talk on the Twitter sphere and the like of, oh, he should come to the men's team, bring him over, coach the men's, or Tony G, maybe after the World Cup, later this year, potentially moves on, Ante taking over. Who knows, there might be a clause in there, what contracts are like these days, but
yeah,
that aside, he's a top bloke, a fantastic gaffer. And he still sees success. He's probably a bit like Grant in the sense of, despite offers, he's happy. For those who don't know, he works over at Matraville Sports High as a PDHP coordinator, or the head of the Sydney FC Academy over there at Matraville Sports High. Very similar to, of course, to the likes of Endeavour and Hills Sports High. So he's probably happy and quite content with the lifestyle and what it affords him to do with his life and family as well. I think he's got at least a couple of kids. So, okay, and the last little bit of info, we did speak about our NPL boys moments ago, and there was a little bit of banter, a little bit of something, back and forth between people and our social media admin dude or people posting about the lack of minutes that our young fellas get in the men's team. I think now, so what happened was they posted the lack of minutes. For instance, the takeaway from this is that our best young players don't play enough. Adrian Sekicic was probably the most outstanding young soccer at the recent Asian Under-20s Cup. He's played a total of 301 A-League minutes this season, and that's in a Sydney FC team that has struggled for results, that has played very mediocre at best this season. So I'd understand if we were playing like 16, 17, 17, 18 kind of team, and it was just hard to break in.
Yeah, but, exactly.
This season we've played average at best. That's probably been common. And despite that, they've still struggled to break into the team and start games and play good minutes. So anything from all that you want to, that you've taken away?
I think the biggest thing, the biggest takeaway, if you look at that, you know, we've got a table in front of us that sort of breaks down the minutes played by an under-23s Australian player across the 2022-23 season. And I think we're, second last or third last at best across 12 teams. I know there has always been a, you know, comments of dad's army and that sort of thing. And, you know, it's all, you know, a little bit of jibs and that sort of thing here and there. But at the end of the day, stats don't lie. And there's several ways you can cut it in terms of average age of squad, average minutes played by under 23s players. You know, and also on the flip side of that, you can the official A-League accounts that supposedly has us, you know, at fifth or something like that across, what was it? What was their stat? What was their metric? Under 19s
played in the first quarter or third of the season, but
yeah, so very skewed stat. But yeah, look, I think it's not just us. I think everybody sort of agrees that we need to play a little bit more youth, trust the youth, as they say. And I think giving the likes of JK or Sekicic 5 or 10 minutes at the end of a game,
it's not enough.
It's a little bit of a piss take, to be fair.
JK came on in about the 86th minute on the weekend, and yeah, it's further compounded by the fact our NPL boys have been doing so well and punching above their weight. It's compounded by Sekicic playing so well.
Well,
Asian under-20s Cup.
On that topic, just before, I know we'll deep dive into the actual game and all that sort of thing, but just as a throwaway comment, do you not think that, like, I get, if to be on the bench in an A-League game is fantastic, but do you not think that JK would get more out of his development by playing close to 90 minutes in the NPL than coming on for 4 minutes in the A-League?
Look, I'd say the former. He'd probably get more out of an NPL game, and there's plenty of class players in the NPL, NSW, and a lot of those players maybe could get a nod into, you know, an A-League men's team, and some of them are past A-League players. Like, look at Olympia. You've got Roy O'Donovan, Ziggy Gordon. Haji Geigel was an A-League Sydney FC player several years ago. Fabio
Jordy Ferreira. Swivel.
Jordy Swivel. You know, you were taking lessons from last week.
he got the night off, mate.
And then it's also compounded because, you know, we see the likes of Callum, Neuenhoff and Tilio killing it with other teams, and then we start to get a bit nervous. I know it's impossible to keep everyone. That's just a fact, but... and I like where the Rowdy came back and he said, for 6 of the 23 A-League matches this season, Sydney FC's youngest player, youngest starting player, was Max Burgess at, 28 years old. So for a quarter of our games, our youngest has been 28 years old. Well, yeah, that's probably considered old or seasoned.
I'd say it's just mature player. Yeah.
And then for a further 12 matches, there was just one player under 27 years old in the starting lineup, which probably would have been the likes of Wood when he got a few starts. The odd start. Maybe Gerd as well.
Gerd in the first couple of games.
Quarter-ish of the season. So, but I like this, not just because his name is Sean, but he does spell it incorrectly. Sean Mathieson. I think he's a journalist, but I like his sense of humour. So on the last weekend's game, a little bit of facetiousness. In an effort to support their social media admin, Sydney FC has started 0 teenagers, 2 players in their 20s, and 9 players over 30. Yeah.
It's pretty good.
I just think there needs to be not so much a balance 50-50, but I don't know, 70-30, 80-20, just start to blood and give some of these players an opportunity.
It's kind of hard though as well, because then when they turn around and they win 4-1,
you don't change the schedules as great as it was on the weekend. But
I agree with you. I agree. But now it's like more license to be like, well, obviously I'm not going to change anything. We just won 4-1. You know what I mean?
Doesn't change it regardless.
I know.
Win, lose, or draw, things rarely change other than suspensions and injuries. But look, we'll jump into we'll kick off with the women actually. So let's jump into our first review. The A-League women kicked off their finals campaign, I guess we can call it, with their qualifying final, first versus second against Western United. I hated, and I know Michelle, you're listening, I hate a doubleheader. I hated, it's a long fucking day, just as a little rant. We had a couple of drinks and food beforehand, then went to watch the men's at 3, and then watched the women. And look, a lot of people left. I have it a guess that there were some people walking in for the women's game. I remember being at the bar in between the games. I did see people walking in, some young families and girls and, school kids kind of age walking in. So, but I reckon there was probably no more than half that was of the attendance that was there compared to the men's game. But I should have been better, standalone game, maybe Cogra on a 5 o'clock, kind of 7 o'clock kickoff on a Saturday night. That would have been better. And then the men can play on the Sunday. But it was a 1-0 loss. Disappointing. We do get a second bite of the cherry. Can I be bitter and say, and it might be easy to say now, but the better team didn't win on the night, Jules?
No, I agree with that. I think it's not being bitter. It's just the way football sometimes works. The team that isn't the better football team doesn't always win. So, and that's how I saw it, definitely. Watched the game. I thought the girls, the only thing that was lacking was final product, probably. So, yeah,
they didn't quite, they had, especially in the second half. So the first half, I felt like they started off a little bit slow, a little bit clunky, grew into the game. I just felt Western just had some better shape and cohesion between their three-thirds of the field. We built into the game. And then second half was just a gluttony, an avalanche of possession and field position all over them like a cheap. So I remember turning to Andrew, and I'll turn on our mate Andrew, the Keep Up app of shots on goal, shots on target, and it's just 24 shots to 2 or something like that. 12 shots on target to 1 at that point. And but there was a good goal. Bit funny that it came a nice cross from Carly Johnson, who was with the girls last season, who was on the fringe of being in the team each week. So understandably she goes for an opportunity. But
referred to her as a weak-gutted dog at the start of the season.
Yeah, I might have said that. Jules. I might have said that. Still believe it. If anything, the weekend confirmed it. Last Sunday confirmed it. But, yeah, like we just didn't quite test the keeper enough. There were some decent chances in the second half with Rach and Nat. She was like a mad dog possessed or something. She was just like a bull in a china shop in the second half, driving really well into the midfield, which was good. It just kind of made me even think. And then Hawks and then Maka had a late chance to maybe push it to extra time in the 88th minute. But Ante was pretty cool about it.
Yeah. He said, I think he had a good reaction to it, to be fair. He had a perfect reaction.
Said, oh, like, I'm happy that we don't have the week off. Like, for you, Jules, do you want a week off? Or do you just want to...
I fucking hate the week off. Mm. I think it's shit. It's just... I reckon it mucks you around. Not that you'd want it. You always want to win a game.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like...
It's an okay consolation prize of sorts,
isn't it? Yeah, to be fair. Because then you're like, okay, that's fine. We'll just keep our consistency with a game every week. Like, that week off is a killer. Like, I would almost be inclined to potentially have a trial game against somebody if you could organize it between an NPL. And it doesn't have to be like full contact or anything, but if we did have the scenario where we'd won on the weekend, I would have, I don't know, if I was in Ante's shoes, I would have done that. But we are where we are now, and we get a game against, obviously, Victory, who won their game in very dramatic circumstances. So, yeah, well, it'd be a good game.
They're up 3-1 with, I don't know, 5 or so minutes on the clock. Yeah. City got a couple of late goals, and then Casey Dumont, won the game, won the day for them, 4-1 in the
yeah.
But I don't want to start. I started not panicking. I started thinking, okay. Here are some first changes that I would make for. Or maybe I should talk about these. Well, I don't want to get ahead of myself and start talking too much about our next game. But I didn't. Okay, tell me this, Jules. You've got everyone back from suspension. You've got everyone fit.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, fair to say, you play your best 11? If your best 11 is at your disposal, you play them. As opposed to rewarding the players who had filled in those spots where needed due to suspension and injury,
mm-hmm.
have gotten you the wins and draws and have done a job, do you reward those?
I think it's just
going, or do you just put your best 11 in there?
I think it's purely based on form, because my best 11 would change potentially every week or every 2 weeks or whatever. But if a player's performing, they stay in the lineup. If they're not, or they had like a game where, not so good, or something like that, or a couple of games where it wasn't as good, then you know that opens up the door for potentially that player that's come back from injury or suspension to come back in the side. So that's how I'd look at it. But
because I was curious with the lineup beforehand, and I saw the girls warming up and off to the side, like away from the main group, it was Maddie Haley and Roller, understandably. Shay Holman and Deborah Ann.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, okay, they're not going to start. So he started Indiana in the midfield.
Mm-hmm.
Started Rachel up front. Rachel, I can accept, but I don't know if it was wise to play a 15-year-old. And she's great, Indiana. She's a star for the future, without a doubt. She could probably make the Matildas in a World Cup's time, you know, in 4 years' time. But I don't know if it was wise putting a 15-year-old into a semi-final when she hasn't had like a whole season of starting A-League women's matches, you know, week in, week out. I think that might have been a bit too much for her. And then when you've got Shay Holman, who's her senior at 18, albeit, and then you've got a brilliant goal scorer in Maddie Haley. Like, if you got a Ferrari, do you leave it in the garage, Jules?
Yeah, Maddie Haley was excellent when she came on. I thought she changed the game.
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely. And maybe we could have done with that at the start and, you know, gotten a goal first, and then Western United are trying to chase a game. They push up forward and push up higher, leaving some more space, and, you know, get them on the counter and get them out of shape and whatnot, and they start to chase the game. So,
yeah,
we'll talk about what my suggestions or what our suggestions for the lineup for this weekend's game will be, but I think that was a bit of an error on Ante's part, and God forbid I criticise, you know, Ante, God, the football, the football whisperer. But yeah, I just thought that was a bit of an error. So
yeah.
But look, we'll take our medicine. The girls need to be better in that final third. It's going to be a tough gig against Melbourne Victory. You know, and hopefully none of those scars. I'm using inverted commas there.
Yeah,
from previous seasons are still there, and maybe the girls see it as even more fuel and determination to, you know, toss them out of the competition before even making a grand final, and then we can take it away from Western United the week after. So,
yeah.
With that being said, before that,
shall we preview the Melbourne Victory game then? Just roll straight on to
All right, geez, good idea.
Why not?
No, I'm not. Like, we do that sometimes. Why not? So, take it away, mister.
Yeah, we've got, obviously, like we were talking about, we've got a game against Melbourne Victory, 22nd of April, so this weekend.
Oh, yeah, hang on. No. I should have edited the run sheet.
That's all right.
Because just in the 24 hours. So, 3 o'clock, Jules.
3 o'clock. 3 o'clock.
Up at you know where, up at Moore Park.
Moore Park, Allianz. So, it's going to be a good, I think it'll be a fantastic game. Definitely something that we, you know, get down as many numbers as we can to this game, because it's the girls need the support, and I think it'll be hopefully a happy day to get through and maybe get some of those demons out of our way as well, considering Victory have outdone us or done us in a final series a couple of times. So it would be nice to get this one, wouldn't it, Sean?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Get those demons away, and come out with a victory. And like, yeah, everyone, you know, the conveniently, I guess you could call it, the men are playing away this weekend. They're up in Brizzy, up in Suncorp. So if you want your fix of Sydney FC and you want to go to a game live, what better way than to watch the girls in the preliminary final and urge them on to make the grand final on the week after? So, yeah. Maybe Melbourne might be a little bit weary after playing 90 minutes, two halves of extra time, and the
all the way to pens. Yeah, all
the pens, the drama, the theater,
the emotion. Yeah, the
emotion of pens, and who knows, that might play in our favor. Might play in our favor. Now, my predicted lineup, and also something else I should have mentioned with the review was that it was great to see Charlotte McLean back after the smash to the face. She had a really good game. Probably took a little bit to get into it, but I thought she was barely skipped a beat after somebody who's been out for 4 odd weeks or whatever it's been. But
yeah,
we'll see Jada in goal, Charlotte and Nat either side, with Charlie and, of course, Kirsty Fenton side. Maka, Sarah, and I'd like to see actually, I wouldn't mind seeing Shay. But what I liked was when Maddie Haley came on, Rachel dropped into 10.
I don't mind that either. I think it's pretty good. I like it.
Because at the start of the season, I would have put, like when I'm, maybe I did this, but at the start of the season with the players that we had at our disposal, I think I might have actually put Rachel as 10. There in the midfield,
you did.
Sarah and Maka.
I think you did from memory. Yeah.
So, and I see her as a 10, as that creative midfield. And then Maddie, Courtney, and Princess either side. But maybe Rachel off the bench, and then Shay starts, because she's been in that midfield three for 90% or so of the season. Another idea I had, but maybe this is me going a bit too crazy and making too many changes, and maybe I'm being a bit panicky and reactive, was playing Nat in the midfield and then playing Deborah Ann with Charlotte at the back. And Deborah Ann's done a very, you know, what do you call it, a very solid job each time she's had to step in, like when Nat was red carded and Charlotte was injured, et cetera, et cetera. But maybe I'm making too many changes there.
I reckon the good thing about having Nat at the back as well is exactly kind of touched on it with the review of the game, is that she was able to drive through into midfield and create an overload there, which is pretty, I think that can be quite useful.
And that's what you've got in the centre back, don't you?
Well, Nat's got that in a locker. I mean, it depends on the centre back, but Nat's got that in a locker because she's sort of like a hybrid between the two. So it's perfect. And that way she's getting into more dangerous areas where she can play those, you know, those fantastic balls, angled balls in behind the defense. So I probably wouldn't change that, because then you have to change the midfield around a little bit as well and maybe lose a bit of continuity. But I think your lineup is pretty much exactly what he will go for, or what I think he should go for. I actually really like the idea of lowering them into 10. I think that will work big time.
Rachel.
Especially against Victory. So
yeah, I've always seen Rachel as a 10, as a very creative player. Got a bag or two on a locker, just playing those through balls and pinging it left and right for Princess and Courtney. Courtney wasn't that great of a game.
Wasn't her best, no.
But you know, maybe just a bit of a hangover coming back from her travels, playing up against Scotland and England, and then of course she got the knock in the England game. So she'll be better this week, no doubt. Court. In terms of a result, though, a predicted score, I think the girls will be ruthless. They'll be switched on, and I'm going to call it a 2-0 win.
In regular,
yeah, absolutely.
In regular, okay. I've got a 3-1 win in extra time.
So what happens? So it's going to finish what, 1-1 or
1-1?
Yeah.
And then a 2 goals in the first half of extra time.
Interesting.
I'll have to check the market on that. But, yeah.
That's typical.
I'm on the payroll, John.
That's it. Well, you know, inflation, rates rising. You got to do whatever you can. You know, you got to try. You got another bloody
trying to make the feed. Trying to make an honest buck here. You know.
That's it. Bet with your head not over it, you know. What's the new slogan now?
You win some, you lose more.
There you know, like it. That. That's it, right off. Yeah, I do like it. All right, we'll jump to the young fellas first and review and preview their game. Disclaimer, and I'll admit that at this, I didn't get to watch their game. I think it's Northwest Sydney Spirit. Is that what you blokes are called?
Yes. Just Spirit.
Look, up the Arctic Circle. Yeah, I have been up there. It is abnormally cold. I don't know.
It's fucked.
What is the deal?
I don't know. It's, trust me, trying to train there at like 5:30 in the morning on a Friday is not fun.
It's like we're going north. Isn't that closer to the
south?
I don't know how it works.
It's up on a hill and everything. I don't understand. It's just this weird pocket of space that just is always cold.
Something blowing off the Macquarie Shopping Centre ice rink. Is there like a little...
yeah, a little gust of...
Yeah, somebody left the window open over there. That's it. Look, they had a 1-0 loss against Spirit, who, not too dissimilar to St. George, coming up from the NPL 2 of what was NPL 2 last season. They're kind of punching above a bit. I think that was their fourth win of the season. Kind of punching above their weight a little bit. Watching the highlights, I think I had to wait to like the last 30 seconds or so of the 6-minute highlight reel to see any kind of Sydney FC highlight, if you know what I mean. It looked like it was kind of one-way traffic, and it was a bit of a masterclass from Spirit and their coach. Who's their coach, Jules? What's the end?
Becco?
What's his resume? Yeah. What's the dealio with him?
I think he's a fantastic coach. There was an article that came out that was saying about like the top 5 NPL coaches that could, you know, up-and-coming potential A-League coaches, and Perka, I think, was one of them. Yeah, look, he's super, super switched on. very good man motivator as well. And he's managed to get like the best out of, he hasn't really invested heavily into his squad this year to come back, to come up. So it's not like he got a massive budget like some of the other clubs and said, oh, go and splash the cash and get some, you know, absolute ballers. So a lot of the players are like backing up from the Spirit team that got promotion last year and are being rewarded with being in the NPL team this year, which is pretty cool. So, but yeah, certainly punching above their weight. So are our lads though. And we, you know, that's only, I think the first loss in like four or five games, something like
yeah,
that.
Five, I think. Yeah. And look, yeah. I think the 1-0 loss might have flattered our Sydney boys a little bit, judging from the highlights. Mm. Maybe it could have been 2 or 3 nil, but Alan Habas had a chance within the last, I don't know, handful of minutes of the game with a, but was saved. So look, maybe a little bit of a reality check of sorts for the boys. You know, some really great names in there, like Oscar, of course, and Zane Schreiber. Gertie was in amongst them as well. And Mitch Glasson coming off the bench as well. Alex Parsons, another familiar name as well amongst them. So they'll take their just desserts. I think that's the saying. And Jules, who they're playing this week? Another team with some W's in their names?
Just a small, you know, occasion of a NPL derby.
Yeah.
In the mix.
The first?
Which is, I think it might be the first NPL derby that we've ever had, no? Because Wanneroo's got promoted last. Yeah.
The youth boys have played them in like a grand final or something that years ago. I think that was at Kogra. I don't know. If Jonathan, was he'd know. But yeah, in terms of NPL fixtures.
Yeah.
This is the
which
first.
Is fantastic. Friday 21st of April at Valentine Sports Park, 7:30. Get your frangos and get down there. What a matchup that's going to be. They're stone motherless last though. I think they only have 2 points. So always lovely to see one of the Wanderers teams struggling this year. So because we can't see that in the A-League at the moment. But yeah, it's going to be, I think, going to be a good game, but for the reasons of not that it's competitive, more that we should pump the shit out of them.
Yeah, despite where they're sitting on the table, the boys will see this as a like a grand final lesson. We'll take on a
different... Yeah, they'll be up for it.
Yeah, they'll be absolutely up for it, and they want to walk away with a win in what is a derby. They've scored 16, which is a decent amount. Is that right? I'm on the right column. Yeah, look, they've scored... Like, look at Bulls Academy. They're sitting on the same points, but have only scored 7 goals in 10 games. Like, so they've scored 16, but they've conceded 28. They're well and truly the worst defensive side of the competition, a minus 12. So, look, the boys should be able to get a win. We're sitting sixth at the moment. What's that?
How many goals have we conceded, curiosity?
18.
That's a decent amount. So there's going to be goals in this game, I reckon.
Yeah, I reckon it's going to be like...
Decent game 6-3. Something crazy.
You can't make it up to Glenwood there to watch the game up at Valentine. You know, sit back on a Friday night and watch what probably be a bit of a goal fest. We scored 20. RPO with 27.
Scored 20 and conceded
18. Look, there's teams around us. Olympics conceded 17, St. George 18. Manly 17, and then you got Wollongong Mount Druid 22-24. So, yeah, not too bad. We're probably, yeah, like sitting at 6-7 points off first, 2 points above Olympic and Black, and 3 points above Blacktown. Like some big names, a couple of big names there. And we're doing better than them. But no surprise to see that top four with RPO, Rockdale, Marconi, and sitting United. Like, you know, just some old hats of the old NSL.
Yeah.
So it's no surprise. But I reckon there'll be goals, Jules, and I'll probably say something like, 4-2.
Yeah, I was at the figure I had in my head was 5-2, so not too far off. 5-2 win, I'll clarify, just to not being Mr. Pessimist with the NPL boys.
I'll say Alan Harbus, Brace, Mitch Glasson, and maybe for JK. Oh, no, he might go on the road with them up to Brisbane. So
I think he will probably go on the road, to be fair.
Maybe we might get the goal. Maybe give Oscar Priestman. Maybe he can get a goal too. All right. Well, let's talk about the curtain raiser. That was the game of the hand. And it was a bloody, it was fantastic. A great fucking win.
4-1,
a long time between drinks. We've scored a handful of goals, conceded little to nothing. In the context of our season, very important in terms of making finals and creating a buffer between us and Perth. I think that's probably, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, but with two games ago, I think that might have kind of put the nail in the coffin for Perth's chance to sneak into finals.
They can still get there. They need some results, basically. Now it's like they need to win and they need results to go their way. So, yeah.
With Wellington also, I think they haven't won for about 3 or 4 weeks. And now we're equal points. A little bit different on goal difference. But...
No, it's the same. So this is the thing. Oh. Same goal difference. Oh, yeah. Same goal. But they've scored more goals. Mm. So they're ahead of us on that. Goals scored.
Right. Is valued more than Rightio. Yeah, so I think our fate is literally in our hands.
Yeah, win the next two games and that's it.
And Brisbane are in with a shout. Newcastle are definitely in a shout. So who knows? In a couple of weeks' time, we'll be talking about having to at least draw or win, at the very least draw against Newcastle to make the finals. At least it makes the last couple of weeks a little bit entertaining, if anything. But
it does.
But it was great to get a win, and I was just, regardless of the context of our season, it was just great there for the fans and the punters who pay their money and show up, for all the guys and girls that flood the Cove and cheer their absolute heads off, to be able to enjoy four times great goals and a wonderful game from the boys, and four really fucking good goals as well, Jules.
Even chuck in Perth's goal, as much as we would like to see. That was a nice goal as well, to be fair.
That was a really nice finish. Take a touch, ball.
Worst fucking haircut in the A-League, but best, but a very nice finish.
And also it was nice, four different goal scorers, all three forwards. Ollie Mack and Alf got a goal, and then Grant gets a fourth as well. Probably our strongest lineup that's on the pitch to start in a while. And I think with everybody fit, that is our strongest lineup, with Wilco and Rodwell partnering Wilco, and then Alfie Mack and Lolly up front, and the midfield as it is. I don't think you could really improve upon that starting 11 with the rest of the fellas, and all due respects to them, with the rest of
I agree.
Our bestest 11 on paper. It's a matter of performing out on the pitch, but that's our best 11.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's like I was sort of alluding to as well in what we were talking about before. I don't think you can make many changes to a side that's 1-4-1 just for confidence, continuity. I think you just have to roll on. I don't see any reason for changes. We're probably close to the best performance we've had all year.
Yeah, definitely. Of course, it was a win, but a very good. Perth were pretty shit, though, I will say. Like, they had a solid first half, and with a great goal and a frustrating coach killer. You know, that first 5 minutes of each half, the last 5 minutes of each half, like, not a surprise there based on our form. But the boys came out in the second half and took it up a few notches. Perth are pretty shit, and that's pretty symbolic of where they are in the table. Like, they've been gallant the last month or two, trying to squeeze themselves into finals contention and maybe snatch six, but there's a reason why they're sitting, seventh or eighth now on the table, I think.
Yeah.
But look, let's go through the four goals, because they were fucking great to talk about. Jules, any particular one you want to talk about?
Oh, look, I think, you know what, starting off from, I think my favourite goal, apart from, I think my favourite finish, there was a different goal, but in terms of the build-up play, the first goal is my favourite. That was brilliant. Everything was one touch, drive into half space, one touch with Grant, ball in the box. Alfie, superb movement, like checks into the centre back, then checks off and away. Perfect. Like such good movement and simple tap in. It's beautiful. Like that was vintage Sydney FC from a couple of years ago. Very similar goal. Like we used to get those goals every single week.
Where I was sitting with our mates, Andrew and Chris, we had perfect viewing of a wonderful combination play from Max, Lolly and Grant just humming together. Max just drifting over and creating a bit of an overload on that right-hand side. Grant pinpoint square ball cross, close enough to the keeper to make him hesitate, but not too close, beautifully on the six-yard box. And Alfie, you know, to the untrained eye, it looks like he just scored a tap-in. Yeah. But he made it look easy. And
his movement's superb. Superb.
Pushes in towards near post, kind of throws the defender off, then checks away into the bit of the space that he created initially from it was nice. And like for those guys and girls that want to play nine and be strikers and the like, watch what he did there, and that's aim to do that when you're in and around the six-yard box. Okay, we'll ignore their goal. we'll jump ahead to early-ish in the second half. The fantastic long pass from Bratz over to Lolly. And then there's this nice little flick on from Lolly over to Alfie. And then there's this nice little bit of combination, a little bit of play between Lolly to Alfie. And I thought Alfie's, because it's all the way down the other end, so maybe it's, you know, that depth perception, but I thought almost for a second, I thought, oh no, Alfie's going to cut it back a little bit too deep, just that like half a step behind Lolly, but it was bang at his feet. And then Lolly puts it into the corner and smashes it home. Great move. Very similar-ish to the first goal that just...
Yeah.
It's a simple pass and move. Play a pass, move into space. Play a pass, move into space. Probably similar stuff that they do at training, but it's all, you know, it's easier said than done to be able to put it into practice out on the pitch. And then a great ball in the 62nd minute. Nice ball from Joel, who's probably had his best game for us. Great ball down the left flank. Finds, where was I? Sorry. Great ball from King. Feeds Mac. Beats his defender. And then just opens up the hips and lifts the ball into the far corner of the net. And that's what you want to see from Mac each and every week. But in his defense, he needs to be fed those kind of passes. He does make those runs. And it's just, it was great that things actually clicked.
I like the way he stood up. Who's the really good centre half as well? Forgot his name now. But he made him basically eat dirt with that finish as well. Just that little balk, it just sort of sent him to the ground, which was perfect. Just created that extra bit of space.
It reminds me of that goal that Messi scored and somebody just turned on and died and just fell on their ass.
Boateng. It was against Bayern Munich. Yeah. Another one.
And then last but not least, Grant gets on the score sheet with that 72nd minute. Short corner from Mark. Nice run, driving in from Caceres into the box and this square ball for Grant. And I think that Perth had kind of...
Oh, the defending was... fucking stat. I think the Andy Harper, I do love the Andy Harperisms that he comes out with at times. But he had a couple of absolute. He called the Andrew Redmayne the salmon wiggle on the weekend, was almost the pink trout. Like it was just, he's on a different planet, that guy. But he was saying about the defenders, they were just statuesque. At that Perth Glory for the fourth goal, just pretty much static.
I think ridiculous. Here, man, they're already, you know.
Oh, they're already, yeah.
They're in the check-in desk at the domestic airport.
Yeah, exactly. They're in the Qantas lounge, yeah.
Yep. Oh, I don't know if they deserve that. Maybe Ryanair. Anyway, great home win for us. I'm just happy for the fans and the Cove who go there each and every game. Important for the context of the season. Probably what I took away most from the game, Max back in the midfield has to play 10 or 8. He just has to be in that middle three. He does a very good job up out wide, cutting in, and he's got a left foot on him. But you want Max in a position to have the most influence on the game, to get the most touches on the ball, and with Max back in our we were far more positive. We played forward more often than none of that horseshoe business. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. Max wants to play forward at any opportunity, whether it be run the ball forward, play the pass forward, shoot forward. He'll tuck it under his shirt and run it forward, whatever. He just wants to play forward. He's just not like that. He's a horse with the blinkers on and plays it with tunnel vision, but he just like...
He's a very positive player. He's a very positive player.
How can I advance the ball forward?
Yeah.
You know, if I don't have to play back, I won't. If there's, provided the other players move, but if there's not an option, he'll look to run it. And he does have a favor and whatnot. And yeah, so very happy, great game. And we'll jump to our SFCU votes. I haven't really thought about this, but I'll give 3 to Max. I'll give 2 to Alfie. And I'll give 1 to Jack Rodwell. I thought he was quite decent too. I'll give a little bit of love.
Well, I'm almost the same. So 3, Maxie Boy, 2, Alfie, and 1 to Rhino. Ryan Grant, who I thought was good on the day.
He had a very good game, kind of wound back the clock a little bit.
Yeah.
But they're off to Brisbane, Jules.
We are off to Brisbane. A very obscure, I had to do a bit of a double take on the day and the date. I thought in my Google calendar or my, you know, when I go to search the game on Google.
Or Sean just doing a typo and fucking up the run.
No, even before when I was looking, I was like, are you sure? So I had to go on the actual official website, and lo and behold, it is Monday the 24th. So this coming Monday, Suncorp Stadium, 7 p.m. kickoff. So a bit of a Monday football fix. Feeling like we're almost like an NFL game, Monday night football.
I know the next day, of course, is Anzac Day. So I guess they're like, oh, people can just sleep in.
That's true. Write themselves off at Suncorp Stadium and roll into 2 up in the morning.
Still school holidays, technically, yeah. So
yeah. Yeah, exactly. So it'll be interesting to see what the crowd will be like away to Brisbane, who are still obviously in semi-finals contention. But another 6-pointer, which we kind of previewed last week, a couple of weeks ago, that we suspected there'd be some 6-pointers coming up, and probably 3 in a row, and this is the second one. So be a very interesting test, I think.
Yeah, if the boys could get the job done, which I'm confident they can on the back of last Sunday's win, like it's huge in terms of an even bigger buffer between us and the bottom shit.
Well, exactly. Even in the context, Sean, of who's playing elsewhere on that weekend, which we will know obviously, but considering that we're the last game of the round. Newcastle playing Central Coast.
Central Coast could do us a little bit of a favour. If we win and Newcastle lose, is that Newcastle's chances out?
Yes, correct. We will know what we need to do potentially by the time Monday rolls around. Mm. So we could very much be securing finals with a draw or a win. I haven't done the
mathematics.
Mathematics and all that sort of stuff. Got my Rain Man on, but the other thing that could also work in our favour a little bit, dependent, is Wanderers are hosting Wellington Phoenix on Friday night. So I'd probably say on form, Wanderers win that game.
Especially so that pretty much their form and Wellington's mediocre.
Correct.
Form. Yeah.
So that puts us potentially with a win into fifth. And funnily enough, would, depending on the Adelaide result, would mean that Wanderers are fourth and Sydney are fifth heading into the last round of the competition, which are, you know, licking your lips already from a marketing point of view. But
yeah, imagine that finals game. I know
first
I don't
ever. Want to
keep things and get ahead of myself. And that's going to be the first ever. Yeah, shit.
First ever. Because they haven't made the finals in 6 years, Wanderers. They're experts in failure. So we just new to it this year and last year. That's all.
Yeah. Well, let's not make it a habit. Okay. Yeah. Let's not get ahead of myself, but that would be pretty sweet. So look, but first things first,
Got to do the job, bro.
Play and beat Brisbane. But regardless of, again, the content, like, of, you know, win this and that, I just think it's important to win the next two games and to have three wins under your belt moving into finals. Again, I know that's like a fortnight's more time, but okay, yeah, okay. Big game. Have we told them where it is? Yeah, Monday. Predicted lineup, cut and paste. And understandably, I know we've been critical of not enough youth and all that kind of stuff and rotation or whatever else. But look, they won and won well on the weekend, provided that there's no injuries and niggles or whatever during the week at training or from training. There's no reason why that the same starting 11 doesn't change. The only maybe feedback, Steve, if you listen, possibly. I know his wife does, Sandra, but maybe depending on what's happening with the match, maybe just play your subs or inserted subs a little bit earlier.
Yeah, it's probably the only thing I could have been critical of on the weekend. I would have really loved, especially when we did get that fourth goal, to sort of give an opportunity to give even more minutes to all the young lads. Just go, yep, let's go. Let's make a triple sub. Let's give them a bit of a run out, like Woody, JK, Sega. Just give them all like 18-plus injury after that 72nd. After the goal at the 72nd minute, so would have been good. But
yeah, I would have liked to have seen Sega playing 10 because it looked like JK was doing that in the last 5 or so minutes when he came on. But yeah, I would have liked Sega playing what I think is his best role. But in terms of we don't need to go through the lineup, but just keep Max at 10, play him in the midfield. In terms of a result, what do you reckon?
Well, I think I agree with you, Sean. I actually am dangerously optimistic about this game, put it that way, because I've been let down before this year. I genuinely think that we're going to be too good. I'm predicting a 3-0 win. I'm pretty confident.
Okay. Well, that's our problem in this season. We play a game, play well enough to win, and then we don't back it up the next week. Or we draw the next week and so on. So we haven't been particularly good at going back-to-back and getting a bit of a roll on and a bit of consistency. It's been a very inconsistent season, particularly at home. But I'll be a little bit more cautious. I'm going to say 2-0 win. Keep a clean sheet, a couple of goals, maybe Alfie and maybe Lolly, nice and cutting on his left foot. I'll say a Lolly and Alfie goal. 2-0 against the Raw. Now, before we finish up, we'll go through our Helen. Hero. I've mashed the two together. Our hero and villain of the week. So I'm feeling in a good mood from the weekend's result, or for the men's result at least. So let's go. We'll kick off with our villains, Jules. And then we'll finish off on a high with our hero. So age before beauty. Here's my hero, thanks to a bit of Bonnie Tyler intro of the week. My hero of the week, I just forgot who it was, but look, I'm going to say my hero will be the men's team. Oh, no, actually, I remember what it was going to be. I was going to say the men's team, but I liked, and I said this to the boys on Sunday, that I hope, because the men were playing beforehand, that I hope the men go in, shower, change, chuck a bit of gel, a bit of wax or whatever it is, fudge into their hair, and real cream, chuck on a suit or their tracky dacks or whatever, and come and watch the girls' game. I don't know how well that happened, so I'm not going to comment, but I'll just comment on who I saw. I saw brats high-fiving and, you know, spurring the girls on as they were coming out onto the pitch, and I saw Redders, you know, out at the front of the tunnel, you know, out there on the sideline watching the girls play. And also, I'll chuck onto that, the amount of signing that the likes of Max Burgess, surprise, surprise, spending so much time and effort, God love him, gosh, he's a good man, gosh, he's a good boy, signing all the jerseys and whatnot of the kids as he makes his way around. I think he's still there now. I think he has somebody tell him, somebody turn the lights off Let him go home. I think
let the boy eat.
Yeah, he hasn't slept since Sunday night. He's still out there signing jerseys. So the likes of, you know, Max and Redders and Bratz and just, you know, been very collegial, but very just, you know, very good club men. Yeah. So yeah. Jules, tell us your hero of the week.
So my heroes of the week, it's a little bit of a somber one as well. The Ladies League announced this week that they're shutting up shop, so to speak, and moving on into obviously the different areas that they've cut out for themselves through their fantastic work throughout the years. So yeah, to everyone, Rose and everybody involved, Michelle, Miriam.
Chrissy Nunes might be a wondrous Chrissy too.
Yeah, no, but good, always great banter, always great comments, insights, and yeah, thank you for the extremely entertaining content that you've produced throughout the years, and it's a testament to how much you guys have influenced the women's game in this country as well. You should be very proud of yourselves, and yeah, wish you nothing but the best for whatever football avenues you take in the future.
Absolutely, they've been absolutely brilliant, and who knows, we'll hopefully get Michelle on the pod and give her
definitely
that mix of Sydney FC-ness in days and weeks to come. My
reptile wins.
My reptile, that's right. My reptile, kind of not really Sydney FC related, but seeing as we're playing Brisbane on the weekend, and like, look, even I am kind of petty at time when it comes to competitive things, and I'll even cheat at Uno, but that doesn't excuse that doesn't excuse Brisbane.
A little bit of confessions on Sky Blue Stories.
I'll do it. I'll hide the cards. I don't care. I want to get to Uno. Brisbane Raw player Connor Envy Stewart has been disqualified from the 2023 E-League. So this is how scummy he is, that like he's even cheating in his the A-League's E-League competition. On Wednesday, March 29th, 2023, Brisbane Roar player Connor Envy Stewart purposely disconnected from multiple games prior to a match completion. So I think he's what, rage quitting?
He's rage-quitted, yeah.
The league has received confirmation from EA's global security team that Stewart engaged in account sharing of their league-supplied account and was not playing their games on March 8th, 2023. This is strictly against E-League policy and is a zero-tolerance offence. He's been since disqualified from the E-League 2023 season and receiving an indefinite suspension from competing in any future E-League competitions as a result of this behavior and account sharing. So I think like it was like, you know, saying to your twin brother, hey mate, can you go in and do the test for me? I think he was getting to play the game. So it was obviously was better. Maybe he, you know,
oh my God,
rather have been down at the club getting shit face than his commitments. So
it's pretty funny that they got, they actually did like an investigation with like officials from
the detectives with it, like Sherlock Holmes. And, but hang your head in shame, Connor Envy Stewart. Shame.
Yeah. Bad karma is going to come to the Brisbane Roar.
Brisbane Roar's already had a bad enough season as it is in the A League women's and men's. And now you've got to add this to their horrid season. I don't know how you sleep at night, mate. Disgrace.
That is a cracker.
All right, Jules, kick us off with your villain of the week.
Bad of the bone. Bad of the bone. So it's a bit of a weird one, but and I sort of mentioned it before, but Zimmerman, mate, take your raggedy ass to a barber in Perth and get a haircut, mate. Seriously, that is, I know we've had some cracking haircuts in the Sydney FC. We still have one. Paddy Wood's haircut is,
oh, I don't like the corner. I know, like I'm not known for my wonderful locks. My eyebrows got more of a reputation than my actual head of hair, but I'm old. But even Rodwell's cornrows kind of thing, cultural appropriation.
Yeah, look, it's gonna get cancelled.
Yeah.
No, but in all seriousness, that's the Having a mullet, or it's pretty much a skullet, because it's all shaved on the, it's completely shaved on top, like a one all over, and then just like mullet at the back. So that's one thing. But then to put highlighter tips in your skullet, that's wild.
Early 2000s.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
Well, lucky he doesn't
cracking
get
goal, shit haircut.
Lucky he doesn't go to Waverley boys. The
No.
private school. They've got their
I thought I told you to get
barber, or
rid of
they
those
go home.
sideburns.
Yeah, that's where I'm thinking of going to get my haircut. Just rock up at Waverley and just and get a $20 haircut. A lot cheaper than what I normally have to pay with my head of hair. All right, Julian, that brings us to an end of another episode. Apologies for last week's hiatus, but next week we'll be back. Jules, myself,
Previewing a grand final, hopefully.
Big Daddy Jonathan, fresh from his trip from Canada. He could tell us all about it and all the shenanigans he got up to in British Columbia and France and Montreal, whatever it is that they had up have up there. I don't. I will try and get Michelle onto the pod. I've got Teresa Polias
Oh.
jumping on with us next week, provided there's a good result for us on the weekend. I've asked T to come on next week to preview a grand final, and hopefully that's the case. So if you hear T's voice, that means the girls have won and are in a grand final. Get out there or sit back on Friday night and watch the NPL boys up against the scum of Western Sydney Wanderers. If you've got nothing to do on a Friday night, or head up to Glenwood for that matter. Saturday arvo, I don't know what the weather's like, doesn't matter, but get your butts down to Moore Park, get in amongst the cove, watch the girls play, cheer them on, beat those scummy bastards from across the border in Melbourne Victory. And then you can see even more great football from the girls the following week. So please get down and support the girls. They would really appreciate it, and I would appreciate it for that matter too. So Jules, thank you for your company. Fantastic seeing your face again. And do you want to say anything, Jules? Just say thank you.
Yeah, and the only thing I'd add into that is tune in on Monday. So pretty much you get your little rest on Sunday in terms of football, and then
Oh yeah.
Monday you've got the A-League men's, hopefully potentially securing a semi-final spot against all odds
Yeah, look, and
from what
look,
we've
yeah.
seen this season.
Well said. I forgot about the
So
men. Apologies, boys, but got too excited with the girls. But yes, Monday night, watch the men up
always the
against
way.
Brisbane. So huge game in the context of our season if we want to play finals. So I've been Sean. He's been Jules. Thank you so much for listening, and all the best. And we'll chat to you next time.